Friday, May 7th, 11:51 a.m. Location, the apartment of Jody McDonald, age 31.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have. We can do it again. Yeah, that's a good idea. One more time. Please. No. Oh, God, please don't. No!
I'm so sorry to interrupt your lunch, Mr. Cole.
I think nothing of it, miss. I'll have this door open in two shakes. Sometimes the weather swells them a bit.
When Jody didn't meet me at O'Halligan's for lunch, like she said she would, I got worried. I called, but her cell just rang and rang.
Is her car outside?
Yes. That was the first thing I checked.
Yeah, maybe she fell asleep, which happened to me. There we are.
May I go in?
Well, sure. But as the super, I'll have to go with you.
Jody, it's me. Are you here?
Oh, you may want to check her bedroom.
Good idea. I'll go in. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Mother of God, the blood. Where's her head?
I'm going to be sick.
It's been cut off. Clean cut off.
I'm going to have to let you go. That's how Principal Conklin put it. Cutbacks, he said. In today's economy, what's a single, unemployed, 40-ish English lit teacher with no kids supposed to do to keep a roof over her head and food on the table? Become a macabre investigator, of course. The spooky has always been a passion of mine, but I was surprised to learn how many people needed my kind of help and would pay good money for it. Do I get scared sometimes? Sure. But a girl has to make a living somehow.
Misfits Audio presents Games People Play, Episode 2 of Millie Foster, Macabre Investigator. The series stars Natalie Stanfield Thomas as Millie and Glenn Haskell as Woodrow.
Millie, you're back.
I sure am. This box was outside the door. It's addressed to you.
Oh, good. They came.
What did?
You'll just have to wait and see.
Something for your nephew?
No. This is for us.
Us.
Here we are. One for you, one for me.
Thanks. What is it?
You don't know?
Would I be asking if I did?
They're iPads. Minis, to be precise.
You bought these for us.
That's right. Just wait till you see how...
How much did they cost?
The features on these?
How much, Woody?
Here's the receipt.
Oh, boy.
We're going to use them for the business. You can claim them on your taxes as a deduction, I think.
You think?
You'll have to ask your tax guy, but I'm pretty sure.
Whatever possessed you to buy these?
It'll help the business. Bring us into the 21st century.
If we don't go bankrupt first.
I saved everything I could. These are refurbished and pre-owned.
So we now have two iPads that two other people didn't want?
That's not the way to look at it.
What is?
Think how useful these will be on your investigations.
What do they do?
What do they do? Well, you can keep your field notes on them.
I can do that with a legal pad.
You can take pictures.
I can do that with the smartphone you made me buy. What else?
There's all kinds of stuff it can do.
Like what?
I'll have to read the instruction manual.
You do that.
I didn't know you were a Luddite, boss.
I'm not. I just prefer talking to people in person when I can.
Shall I answer that?
Why wouldn't you?
I thought you might have something against all phones.
Not landlines.
Millie Foster's office, how may I help you?
The call was from Stan Cole, who for many years had served as the janitor at the high school where I taught. Unlike Woody and me, he left voluntarily to become the superintendent of the Patriot Arms apartment complex. With a shaky voice, he said, "You have to come over here, Millie. Please, I don't know what to do."
Brace yourself, dear. It ain't pretty.
Stan's words were the understatement of the year. The headless body of Jody McDonald sat at her dining room table, as though waiting for a tardy guest. A trail of blood started by her feet and ended just shy of the back door. Someone had taken her head. Before the body, covered with blood, was a Monopoly board, still set up for a game. The open cardboard box lay on the floor beside the reddened table. Oh, my God.
I didn't know where to turn. I heard you're not at the school anymore, that you're working freelance as some kind of a spooky detective.
A macabre investigator.
Yeah, whatever you say. This fits the bill, right?
It certainly does. The poor girl. Her head must have fallen here. That would account for the big stain. But why would someone take it?
Can you help me?
I'll try. When did you learn about this?
Less than an hour ago. That's when Darlene came to see me.
Darlene who?
I don't know her last name. She wanted me to open Miss McDonald's apartment door for her.
Why?
Well, she said she was supposed to meet her for lunch. When Miss McDonald didn't show up or answer her phone, Darlene got worried. When I opened the door, well...
Could I talk to Darlene?
I don't see why not. The last I saw her, she was running outside. When she saw what had happened, she said she was going to be ill.
I'll find her. What can you tell me about Jody McDonald?
What do you want to know?
The basics. Occupation, age, stuff like that.
I think she was 30. I learned a long time ago not to ask a woman's age.
Good man. Has she lived here long?
A bit over 3 years.
What does she do for a living?
There, you got me. She tried to explain it to me once, but a lot of it went right over my head. I think she was some kind of engineer. Darlene would know better.
A good tenant?
Oh, no trouble. She left in the morning for work, like everybody, and was usually home for supper.
Paid her rent?
I suppose. I wouldn't know about that kind of thing. That's the building manager's job, but I never heard him complain about her.
She lived here alone?
Uh-huh.
No boyfriend?
I don't pry into tenants' personal lives. And all I can tell you is that she didn't have one who stayed over. Her visitor parking spot was usually empty.
Is there any sign of forced entry?
I haven't looked around yet. That'll be something for the cops.
You haven't called them?
No.
You'd better. Why in heaven's name would the murderer play Monopoly with Jody before...
It doesn't make sense to me either.
The door the blood leads to, that goes into a common corridor for the other apartments.
Yeah, it does.
How many other units are out there?
Two on this floor.
Tenants?
None. The units are vacant, Millie. They have been for months.
Did anyone in the complex have a problem with Jody?
No, I never heard anyone say a bad word about her.
Damn.
What is it?
I left my phone in the car. I wanted to take some pictures.
What's the big thing in your coat pocket?
I forgot I had it with me. It's a mini iPad my assistant bought for me.
It takes pictures, doesn't it?
So I'm told. But I...
I can show you how.
You, Stan.
My grandson has one. He's always fiddling with it when he comes over to visit. Taking pictures is a cinch.
Millie Foster, you said?
Yes.
I'm Darlene Cassidy. Aren't you a teacher?
I was.
My brother's girlfriend was in your class. English lit, right?
Yes, but I'm an investigator now.
Can you figure out who did this to Jody? I'll pay you whatever it takes.
I'm certainly going to try. I could use your help.
Anything. How?
First, with some basic information. Stan Cole said Jody was about 30?
31.
What did she do for a living?
She was... It's tough to say, was a biomolecular engineer.
In town?
Yes, at Astra Pharmax on State Street.
Did you ever meet her co-workers?
Sure. I'd meet Jody for lunch sometimes. Nice bunch.
No one who would do such a thing?
No.
Do you know about her personal life?
Yeah, we've been friends for years. No secrets.
Did she have an ex? A boyfriend?
Just Chris.
Chris?
Christopher Reed. They were together for, I think, 5 years, but that's been over for a while now.
Where is he?
In prison. But he couldn't have...
He might have arranged...
Hey, he's in prison for insider trading. He never raised a hand to her in all the years they were together. Jody told me that. I don't think he'd know how.
One last question. Did Jody keep any games in her apartment?
Games?
Board games.
Not that I know of. She wasn't much on stuff like that. She'd rather read.
The warden said 10 minutes, Miss Foster. That's all he can give you. The prisoner has things to do.
I understand.
Bring him in, Phil!
Phil escorted Chris Reed into the prison visiting room to meet with me. Reed was about 5'9", and he had tight brown curls. He was dressed in the expected prison jumpsuit. Coke bottle glasses rested precariously on his nose, and he had an air of confusion about him when he saw me. At first glance, he gave me the impression of being the kind of man who wouldn't hurt a fly.
The warden said you wanted to see me, but I'm not sure who you are. Have we met?
No. My name is Millie Foster. I'm an investigator.
A cop?
I'm not a cop. I'm afraid I have some bad news, Mr. Reed.
What?
Jody McDonald was found dead in her apartment yesterday.
Dead?
Murdered.
How?
I don't think you want to know.
If it involves Jody, I want to know. How?
She was decapitated.
What the?
I'm investigating the case. I'm sorry to have to break the news to you.
Somebody had to. I just got a letter from her last week.
Did she mention a new boyfriend? A new man in her life?
Someone who might have killed her?
Yes.
No. And she would have.
Why is that?
Miss Foster, I'm in here because of my own stupidity. I'm no good at insider trading. I used to be a stockbroker. I should have been good at it.
What's that have to do with Jody?
I used to brag to her about how I'd make a ton of money. She kept telling me to stop it, that it was illegal and I'd be caught. She was right. If there was someone new in her life, she would have told me, partly out of spite. I deserve it.
Have you two been corresponding for long?
Since I've been in here.
Did you keep the letters?
Every one.
May I see them?
Sure, if it'll help.
Can you think of anyone who may have done this?
No. Everybody loved Jody.
So I've been told. Did she write you about her work at Astor Pharmax?
Sure.
And her co-workers?
Everybody seemed normal to her. They all... All...
Mr. Reed?
I thought it might work out, you know?
What might?
Jody and me. Once I got out of here, maybe I could convince her to take me back. That hope and her letters are what got me through each day. Now...
After I promised to mail them back to him, Chris Reed let me take Jody's letters. From the prison, I was off to my second appointment of the day, a meeting with Jody's boss at Astra Pharmax, Arthur Farrell.
Good afternoon, Astra Pharmax. How may I direct your call?
Thank you for seeing me so quickly, sir.
Anything for Jody.
How are your people holding up?
Everyone I've seen has had that glazed-over look. Shock. Myself included. It's incomprehensible.
What can you tell me about Miss McDonald?
An excellent employee. Very pleasant and extremely intelligent.
How long had she been working here?
About 4 years. She started as an intern and rose quickly through the organization.
What was she working on?
I'm afraid I can't answer that. It was a government contract, so we're pledged to secrecy.
What can you tell me about the people she worked with, here or on the project? Anyone suspicious?
No one I can think of.
Sir?
I'm sorry, Miss Foster. It's only that, well, I can't help but feel responsible.
For the murder?
Jody wasn't one to take vacation time. She was always buzzing around this place. I got tired just looking at her. I urged her to take some time off, a long weekend. She had a few personal days that she was going to lose if she didn't take them. She reluctantly agreed.
You can't blame...
The first of the personal days was... yesterday.
Saturday, May 8th, 3:25 p.m. Location, the apartment of Raymond Kelly, 42, an attorney for the firm of Harrington, Woodward & Shelby.
Not long after I got back to the office, Woody's police scanner broadcast the news of another murder in town. I found the decapitated body of Raymond Kelly sitting before a chessboard. His head was missing. I was able to snap a few pictures of the scene before the arrival of our town's new hotshot police lieutenant and all-around disagreeable human being, John Parks.
Who is this woman?
This woman can speak for herself. I'm Millie Foster.
What are you doing here?
I'm an investigator.
Mr. Kelly's family hired you?
No, a friend of Jody McDonald's did.
McDonald? That's a separate case. What are you doing here?
Investigating.
You have no...
This is the second decapitation murder in town over the past 2 days.
There's a newsflash for you.
There must be a connection.
The police department hasn't established any.
There must be.
Sergeant, show Miss Foster the exit.
We can help each other.
How can you help me?
We're both working toward the same goal, finding the murderer. I might have information that would be useful to you. On the flip side, you might...
The police department doesn't need the help of civilians. We're quite capable of handling our own investigations. Sergeant!
2 more days went by. 2 more people were beheaded over board games. I managed to visit the scenes of the crimes, look around and take a few pictures before Parks arrived. With a little digging, I found family, friends, bosses, and co-workers of the victims to speak with. It didn't help.
Is there anything in the letters?
No, though Jody McDonald did have lovely penmanship. You don't see that anymore.
Lieutenant Parks called.
Let him call.
He wasn't too happy with how you've, and these are his words, been butting into his investigation.
He needs a kick in the butt. It's been a long time since I met such a pig-headed, sexist idiot.
Don't hold back, Millie. It's not good for your blood pressure. Yeah, I've been doing a little online investigating. Look at this.
Who's who?
All 4 of the murder victims are listed on this website.
Jody McDonald. Nice picture. IQ 163. That's genius level.
Raymond Kelly had an IQ of 168.
What about the other 2 victims?
162 and 165. All genius level.
Why is the killer beheading only smart people?
And how would he know about their IQs? You don't usually put that on your business card.
There must be a common thread. Woody, if I could get lists of all the employees from the victims' workplaces, would your computer be able to compare them?
You mean see if someone is on all the lists? Sure. I have a program that...
You could do it.
Of course. No sweat. That's everybody. They'll be sending me files within the hour. They're going back 2 years. Well, that should be enough, I think.
Thank you.
Hey, are you all right?
Sorry, I was looking at the crime scene pictures.
See? I told you that iPad would be useful.
I can't escape the feeling that I'm... Is there a way to zoom in and out on the pictures?
Sure. All you...
Do it for me, please?
Luddite.
You spoil me.
Starting with Jody McDonald?
Please.
What do you want to zoom in on?
Anything and everything. To the right. Left a little. There. Stop there. Can you zoom in on the cover of the Monopoly box?
Sure.
Well, I'll be. It didn't take long for Woody to zero in on all 4 game box covers, something that would have taken me weeks. He was even able to display the pictures side by side on the iPad screen. What I saw took me way back. Silver's Department Store.
What?
Those green price stickers on the box covers? I knew there was something familiar about them. They were used by Silver's Department Store.
Never heard of them.
You wouldn't have. They went out of business years ago, and they were only in New England. Little farm boy Woody never would have visited a Silver's. I went there a lot as a kid.
But if they went under years ago... How could the killer...
He must be a local guy and have saved the games from when he was young.
Are we sure the Monopoly game wasn't Jody McDonald's?
We're sure. Darlene Cassidy told me so. Some family members of the other victims told me the same thing about their loved ones.
So we have a murderer who breaks into smart people's homes and forces them to play old games of his before killing them? Pretty weird.
No argument here.
Why would he bring along old games? You can still buy all of them in any toy store.
They must mean something to him. Souvenirs from childhood? Woody, can you change the pictures to focus on the game boards?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
What?
Look at the boards. All the victims. They had won the game. Just a few minutes later, the last of the employee lists arrived in Woody's email. He downloaded the attachments and ran them through whatever computer program he was talking about. We found our common thread.
Wallace Douglas. I think I remember him. He worked in our mailroom for a few months. Kept to himself, kind of squirrely, if you know what I mean.
Yes, he worked in our food services department. Didn't stay here long.
Our records show he was on our janitorial crew for approximately 3 months. Personally, I don't remember him.
It was more than a year ago. He worked in our mailroom for a while. I think he was a temp.
Mr. Farrell mentioned a Jeanette Douglas was listed as Wallace's emergency contact. His mom?
I think I found her online obituary. She died in January. Yeah, she's the one. It mentions that she leaves her son Wallace.
I wonder if he still lives at the address Farrell has for him.
Why would you... Oh, no, boss. You want to go there? You can't.
Why not?
He's a nut. He's already killed 4 people. You could be number 5.
I'm not smart enough for him.
This is no time for jokes. Visiting Douglas at his home? That's crazy.
If I don't stop him, who knows how many more people he'll kill?
No. It's too dangerous. You're the boss, so I've allowed you to do some scary stuff during our time together, but this? We should tell Lieutenant Parks about it and bow out.
Parks? That windbag?
Millie, I...
What have I always told you about my advantage over the monsters and criminals I'm looking for?
And you have knowledge they don't have.
Exactly. And that will keep me safe.
What if I...
No, Woody. I'm going alone.
You're not going to listen to me, are you?
What?
I get the idea. Can we at least arrange a check-in call?
If that will make you feel better.
Call me when you get to Wallace's house.
Agreed. Then I want you to give me an hour before worrying and calling anyone. Especially Parks.
An hour? That's too long. Half an hour.
45 minutes. That's my final answer. As the sun began to set, I parked down the street from the address, and as I had promised, called Woody. Then I walked slowly, and I'll admit it, nervously, to the house. It was badly in need of a paint job, and the lawn surrounding it hadn't been cut in some time. The house was beaten down and set back among several trees that cast their shadows over it. Most importantly, there was no car in the driveway. It looked like Wallace wasn't home. The mailbox hanging beside the door was stuffed with letters and junk mail. I checked a few pieces of it. They were all addressed to Jeanette and or Wallace Douglas. I had found the house. Using my trusty bobby pins, I was able to pick the lock on the front door. I quickly stepped inside and closed and locked it before anyone saw me. What is that smell? I had entered into a parlor. The curtains were pulled tight over the windows, allowing no sunlight inside. Empty pizza boxes and fast food bags were scattered about the filthy carpet. In one corner, 2 mice, was one of them a rat, were munching on the hardened remains of a long-ago discarded cheeseburger. In another corner was a stack of board games. All of them had the Silver's department store price tags on them. I followed the smell to the next room, the living room. That's when I saw it. On the mantle over the fireplace, 4 decaying heads, aligned in a row, stared blankly back at me. The tops of their skulls had been cut off, and the brains scooped out, like you would do to the seeds inside of a Halloween jack-o'-lantern. In the center of the row, like a bride flanked by her bridesmaids, was a large urn bearing a plaque inscribed, Mother. Feeling the bile rising in my stomach, I proceeded into the kitchen. Oh my God. I had found the brains. Stacked inside the fridge were a half a dozen storage containers, each filled with gray matter. On top of each container, a plastic fork. I almost lost my lunch when I saw a mouse nibbling on the small leftover pieces of brain tissue lining an otherwise empty container in the sink. My mind ran wild. Maybe Woody was right to be worried. Maybe I had stepped into something too big for me. I was so involved with my thoughts that I didn't hear him enter.
Well, my friends, we have a visitor.
I spun about. Wallace was standing in the kitchen threshold, a bloody sword in his right hand, and a long-haired, decapitated skull in his left. He set the head down on the kitchen counter.
What are you doing in my home?
I...
You must be very smart to have gotten in here without a key.
Oh, no, not at all. It was easy. Anybody could have done it.
How's that, my friends? Yes, I think you're right. It's game time. Checkers, I think. Sit. Red or black?
I really don't want...
Red or black? Choose.
Red, I suppose. It was all I could do to keep my hands still to make my moves. I tried to stall, but Wallace clutched his bloody sword to his chest and told me to keep playing. His glaring eyes felt like they were cutting into my soul. There was no way I could get to my cell phone without him noticing.
Crown me.
After 10 minutes, it seemed like 10 hours, the game was over.
I won.
You certainly did.
You didn't let me win?
Oh, no. I wouldn't do that. You beat me fair and square.
I won! Come here, you. You see, Mother? I'm not dumb. I'm not!
Are you all right?
Never better.
Your mother told you that you were dumb?
Many times, but I'm not anymore. I showed her. It worked. My plan worked.
The murders.
Right, but only of smart people. I made sure of that.
How did you know that they...
I can tell. The smart ones have an air about them. It's like they're rubbing my face in the fact that they're in the big important club that I'll never get into. Well, maybe now I will, huh?
Why did you kill them?
How else could I eat their brains? It worked. I got smarter. I'm probably the smartest person in the world.
I bet you are. You're smart, Wallace. Very smart.
Darn right I am.
No one will ever call you names anymore.
You bet they won't. It's a new day for Wallace Douglas. I'm important now.
Wallace, I know someone who could really use your help.
You mean my brain?
Exactly. He has a problem that he's been trying to solve for some time now with no luck.
I'll bet I could help him.
I think you're the only person who can. Would you like to meet him?
Sure. I can always help out those who aren't so smart.
May I call him?
Sure. What's his name?
Parks. John Parks. He'll probably come right over.
You have been listening to Games People Play, Episode 2 of Millie Foster, Macabre Investigator. This series stars Natalie Stanfield Thomas as Millie and Glenn Haskell as Woodrow. Guest starring in this episode, in order of appearance, were Julie Bruno as Jody McDonald, Nancy McLemore as Darlene Cassidy, Joe Stofko as Stan Cole, Chris Poyer as The Guard, Ted Wenskis as Chris Reed, Elise Krawick as The Receptionist, Victor Aurelius as Arthur Farrell, Russell Gold as Lieutenant John Parks, Rob Scheimer as Boss Number 2, Jennifer Dixon as Boss Number 3, Rebecca Thomas as Boss Number 4, and Sean T. Young as Wallace Douglas. The series was created, produced, and written by Mike Murphy, Assistant producer and webmaster, Captain John Tadrazak. Post-production was accomplished by Alex Losford. Music for the series was composed and performed by John Carl Toth. It is copyright 2015 and is used with his permission. To hear more of his music, please visit his website at johnnytoth.wix.com/music. Script editor, Arlene Osborne. Art director, Alexa Chipman. This production is copyright 2015 by Misfits Audio and is intended for enjoyment purposes only. All the characters portrayed in this series are fictitious. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. Please visit us on the web at misfitsaudio.com and on Facebook. This is your narrator, Fran McClellan, speaking.